great Kahan Michael Hawkins.
Shalom. Woo-hoo! Please be seated. Praise Yahweh. It's an awesome day, man. 7 times 7, right? Praise Yahweh. We're going to talk about the white buffalo. Of all things, huh? The white buffalo. Amazing, isn't it? Praise Yahweh. There's some interesting quotes from Lightning Medicine Cloud's website. That was a white buffalo calf. And it says, the non-albino white buffalo was named Lightning Medicine Cloud in a special ceremony last summer. Now, if you remember, when this calf was born, it was last Pentecost, on the prophecy film, we had a little short clip about that, showing that it had been born and the great excitement that the Native Americans had to see that white buffalo born. Of course, we knew it was going to turn into something else, because one day they will find out about the white, great white buffalo, the true, the one that Yahweh has sent. Now, it says that opportunity for the birth of a white buffalo is said to be 1 in 10 million. So you can see how rare such a thing is, okay? Now, the name Lightning Medicine Cloud, really, when you think about Yahweh's plan to us, it carries the meaning, because when you think about lightning, you know, in Revelation 16, 17 through 18, it tells you about at the time or the message of the seventh Moloch, there is going to be thunder and lightning. And also it speaks about it before Yahweh's throne as well. And that's significant, of course, because it's talking about the seventh Moloch. And the word medicine, it makes me think of Ezekiel 47:12, when it talks about the leaves, the nations, or the branches, right, will be for the healing of the nations. The branches of the tree of life will be for the healing of the nations. And then the word cloud, think of Psalm 91, where, of course, the protection of Yahweh, the shadow of the protection of Yahweh. Now, all these things come from only one prophesied place, and that is the house of Yahweh, given to mankind by our Heavenly Father Yahweh, and, of course, the one who is sent to teach us. Now, continuing on, he says, he is the hope of all nations, talking about the white buffalo. He's the hope of all nations. And the owner of the white buffalo, Orbe Little Soldier, said, you have taken the inner spirituality. You tried to stop what we're bringing back to y'all. At least, you know, those who took the life of the calf, slaughtered it, you know, would think that they could stop this. He says, but you can't. He says, you just opened the doors to release the message to all people. Okay? And that's what Yahweh has done. I'll open up to Revelation chapter 3 real quick. Revelation chapter 3. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 20 through 22. Remember, he says, you've opened up the doors to release that message to the people. In Revelation 3, verse 20, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Now, this is Yahshua speaking. He says, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me. Now, remember what the teachings of Pastor at Yeshua's memorial about the eating of Yeshua, okay? Cherishing him and putting him into your life to where you become as he is. In verse 21, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne as I also overcame and sat with my Father on his throne. Not that he's sitting on his lap, you know, but he's there ruling with the authority that Yahweh has given unto him, that position. Verse 22, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the called out ones of the house of Yahweh. Now, to the Native Americans who call Yahweh the Great Spirit, realize what this is saying. Let him who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the called out ones of the house of Yahweh, because the house of Yahweh is the one who has the salvation that you're searching for. Now, you remember what was said also. Aubrey Little Soldier, he said that, we didn't know the name of the Heavenly Father, Yahweh. We didn't know that, and we didn't know the prophet. We weren't aware of the prophecies in the book of Revelation, okay? And so his website, he says, and we mourn the death of Lightning Medicine Cloud and his mother. It is so important to us that his legacy will forever live on through this message that he brought us. the hope of all nations. Okay? He says, lightning has brought in a spiritual blessing from God and taken out of the hands of evil people. Open up to Daniel chapter 12. Now, remember, he didn't know the name of Yahweh, so of course he would use the name God. And the Lakota people, now that they know the name of Yahweh, maybe they'll be more aware of it as they sing about it. But in Daniel 12, remember what it says there in verse 9. And remember what he says. You've taken this out of the hands of the evil people. In Daniel 12, verses 9 and 10, he says, but he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. So we know this is the end time he's talking about. Many would be purified and made white and tried and tested, but the wicked will do wickedly, and none of the wicked will understand, but the wise will understand. So none of the wicked will understand. He's taken us out of the hands of the evil people. Okay? And he's given only this to those who will be obedient to Yahweh. So it's reserved, this knowledge and understanding is reserved for the righteous. Now, Lightning's mother's name was Buffalo Woman. Buffalo Woman. Okay? And she reminded the prophecy of Israel Hawkins, because his mother, remember, brought forth her son in this unassigned land, this area, located in the area of what became known as the state of Oklahoma, okay, a place known as the ends of the earth. And if there had been no woman, Buffalo Woman, to bring forth Buffalo Bill, then the great white buffalo would not exist. So in a sense, yes, she is a Buffalo Woman when you think about it, okay? And, of course, the Buffalo Woman actually portrays the house of Yahweh as well. But, you know, without Israel Hawkins, there'd be no house of Yahweh established in these last days. Now, Floyd Hand Looks for Buffalo. That's his name. He's an Ogala medicine man from Pine Ridge, South Dakota. He said, quote, the arrival of the white buffalo is like the second coming of the Messiah. It will bring about purity of mind, body, and spirit, and unify all nations, black, red, yellow, and white. Now, of course, we know that it's the great white buffalo that prepares the arrival of Yahshua, Messiah, the second coming of Yahshua. In other words, if you come to know who Israel Hawkins is, the great white buffalo, then you'll be prepared for the second coming of Yahshua's return. Now, be ready for his return. Now, we all know that Yahweh chose pastors to be born in this area known as the seat of Oklahoma. Can you guess what the state animal is of Oklahoma? It's the buffalo, right? It's the buffalo. Now, this is something that I had found a while back. And this is the state. I guess this is zoomed in as much as it's going to go. Okay. This is Oklahoma state flag. Now, the center is the shield, a battle shield. Okay, this is a battle shield here, this round thing. That's the battle shield of an Osage warrior. Okay. Now, the prophecy originated with the Lakota people about 2,000 years ago by what was known as the white buffalo calf woman. And the story goes that she appeared to two warriors. Okay, two warriors. Now, at the time, one chose righteousness and one chose evil, which is likened to like Cain and Abel, if you think about it. But remember, the house of Yahweh is the one who will bring the nations out of all the war. But taking a look at this, you see that there's a lot that's there, and we'll cover that. But right now, turn over to Exodus 15, verse 3. Exodus 15, verse 3. Warrior. Remember what it says. In Exodus 15, verse 3. Exodus 15, verse 3. Yahweh is a mighty warrior. Yahweh is his name. He's a mighty warrior. He just loves war, doesn't he? That's the way that the world would love it. Boy, he's just a warrior, yes. And you give them the zeal, and it would actually justify their means of behavior with loving war and so forth. But that's not what Yahweh says at all. That just means, correctly translated, it means, for from one man Israel's, from one man Yahweh's servant Israel will come knowledge of the laws of Yahweh and his name. Okay? For from one man Yahweh's servant Israel will come knowledge of the laws of Yahweh and his name. So you can see that Yahweh's law removes war. Okay? There's no warrior in that verse there. It simply talks about Yahweh serving Israel and how we bring forth the knowledge of Yahweh's laws in His name. And that's exactly what He's doing today. Now, this shield, the shield on this flag, is made of buffalo hide. Okay? And it's decorated with seven eagle feathers. You see, there's five here and two here. One here, one here, and five here. Seven feathers. Now, turn over to, well, let me just read it to you. Psalm 91, verse 4 for your notes. It says, He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings will you trust. His truth will be your shield and buckler. Okay? A shield and buckler, which is what this is, a shield. Now, there's seven feathers. There were seven eras of the house of Yahweh in the history of the scriptures that bring forth the teachings of Yahweh and the teachings of peace, always. Okay? And they always talk about the protection of Yahweh as well. Now, there's two symbols of peace that lie across this shield. Okay? The symbols of peace and unity from the different cultures of the Native American and the European American settlers in the territory there. One symbol is the peace pipe. Okay? That's this part right here, the peace pipe. Which is fitting because the peace by mankind usually goes up in smoke anyway, right? So, but what you notice here, there are two tassels that hang down here. Two tassels. Could be for the two witnesses. Now, the other symbol of peace is, of course, this right here, which is an olive branch. Okay? The olive branch. And, of course, that's Israel Hawkins, the olive branch. Okay? And it was born in that part of the state of Oklahoma, which was known as the unassigned lands of the ends of the earth. Now, in Romans 11, verse 23 to 25, Romans 11, verse 23 and 25, it talks about the olive tree. And Yahweh shows us, of course, the prophets talk about the olive tree of Israel as being the olive tree and so forth, but and that's what it says here in Romans 11, verse 23 and 25. He says, And if they do not persist in unbelief, they will be grafted in, for Yahweh is able to graft them in again. Remember, all Israel has gone astray, but He will graft them in again. For if you were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature and contrary to nature, were grafted in to a cultivated olive tree, how much more readily will these, the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? And I do not want you to be ignorant of this great secret. The great secret. Remember who brings forth that great secret in these last days, okay? Because it's Israel Hawkins that is prophesied to bring this peace to all nations. And that includes the lost tribes, the Native American Indians as well. Now, in Isaiah 49, verse 6, you can reference this for your notes. He said, Yahweh says, it's not enough that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Yaakov. Now remember, the tribes of Yaakov, this includes actual literal tribes. Because all of Israel, remember, right now encompasses the whole earth. Everybody that's alive is actually a descendant of Israel. So these tribes are going to return back. And it would be Israel Hawkins' mission to bring them back to Yahweh. Remember, you will be the salvation, as Yahweh says, to the ends of the earth. Salvation to the ends of the earth. And then, of course, Revelation 7, verse 9, remember it says, he talks about that great multitude which no man can number of all nations and tribes, okay, and peoples and tongues. So all that's encompassed in there. Now, the shield is decorated with six white, I mean, it's not white in here, but these six white crosses, okay, they're actually white. On the flag itself. In fact, this background is actually blue, representing the sky. But these crosses are not actually crosses. They're Indian symbols for stars. Okay, for stars. And on Oklahoma website, it tells you that the stars represent, on the flag, it represents a high ideal. High ideal. That's the reason why they put them on there, these stars of the American Indians. And an ideal is the idea of something that is perfect, something that one hopes to obtain. Now remember what the white buffalo represents? Remember what Orby Little Soldier said? He said, he's a hope of all nations. So this is what they're hoping for. They just don't understand what they're actually looking for. Now, And the word ideal also means a model of excellence and perfection. Now remember the six of them. Six of them. If you remember Revelations 2 and 3, chapters 2 and 3, okay, it talks about the six eras of the house of Yahweh. And it talks about how they were a model of perfection that Yahweh is desiring to find in his people. What about the seventh one? Well, that's why you see this olive branch sitting on top. Sitting on top of everything. You see that? It's on top of everything. Nothing, everything else is beneath it. But the olive branch sits on top. Now, when you think about what makes a true white buffalo, it says it must have... Now, these are signs that the Native American Indians, our ancestors from the hills of Galilee, okay, need to realize, because it's very important for them to understand these things. They say for a true white, a buffalo to be a true white buffalo, it must have black eyes, black lips or a mouth, a black tail, and it must be a male. And they've got to know what Yahweh is trying to show them to know who that great white buffalo actually is. Black eyes. Now, one of the words translated black is number 7838 and 7835, which actually comes from 7836. Which means to dawn or to rise up early. It's like what we saw in the video earlier. It means to study. Get up and study, right? Get up early and study. And it also means to seek diligently. As Yeshua said, you know, seek the kingdom of Yahweh first. And in the Yahweh's righteousness. These are things that is pointing out to us here. Another word that word black stands for, number 6937, is to mourn in sackcloth. To mourn in sackcloth. Now, you should think about Revelations 11:3 when it talks about the two witnesses. They're given their prophetic offices and they go out. Okay, and the King James Version says they're clothed in sackcloth. But it actually means, you know, that the time period is they go about ministering in these days and talking about the days of darkness that's out there, right? The tribulation that we face now. The word eyes, according to the New Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, is number 5869, okay? And it says, an individual may serve as a guide on one's eyes, okay? Now, this is part of the definition that it gives in there. An individual can serve as a guide to be one's eyes. And this is, of course, what we need, and everybody in the world needs, is to have this guide, this one who will guide us into everlasting life. This is another phrase from the eyes of, may signify that a thing or a matter is hidden from one's knowledge. Okay? And of course we know that things are hidden from people's knowledge. And of course it's hidden from their knowledge for sure. In Isaiah 49, verses 2 and 3, turn there real quick. Isaiah 49, verses 2 and 3, he says, Isaiah 49, verses 2 and 3. Now, this is Yahweh talking about someone. Isaiah 49, verses 2 and 3. And he has made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he has hidden me and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver, he has hidden me. There's a word hidden twice. Okay? Two witnesses. And he said to me, you are my servant, O Israel, through whom I will be glorified. So we know that who this is talking about. It's talking about Israel Hawkins, that Yahweh hid him. Now remember what the word Buffalo Bill actually means. He, the buffalo, was hidden in order to restore the house of Yahweh at Abel and the priesthood. Now brothers, sisters, everyone, this has a tremendous meaning for the fact that everyone out there has the opportunity, if they answer the calling of Yahweh, to be a part of this tremendous priesthood that Yahweh is offering us in these last days. So Yahweh hid him. Another thing is, it must have black lips, okay? Black lips or black mouth. Remember in the book of Revelation, it says there's one mouth, one spokesman of the work of these two witnesses. Isaiah, in Psalms 49, I'll just read this to you. In Psalm 49, verses 1 through 5, It says, hear this, all nations. All right? And that word nations is 5971. It means a people as a congregated unit, specifically a tribe of those of Israel. Okay? A tribe. It says, listen attentively, all inhabitants of the world, of lowly birth and high degree, rich and poor alike, give ear. Our mouths shall speak wisdom, and the meditation of our hearts speak understanding. Incline your ears to a parable. A parable, now that's something that's hard to understand, okay? We will open our dark sayings. Remember the dark eyes, the dark mouth? We will open our dark sayings, accompanied with the lyre, or the harp. Okay, and if you remember Revelations 14:1-2, it talks about the harpers harping. Okay, they weren't just plinking, plinking on their little harp floating on a cloud, you know, but they were teaching the laws of Yahweh. Okay, and this is where this understanding comes from. And verse 5 says, why should we fear the evil days or the iniquity of the slanderers who surround us? The iniquity, all right? Remember, those, we're living in the days of when the love of many will grow cold and iniquity will abound, okay? So all this is referring to parables. And a parable is something hard to be understood. And remember, Yeshua, in Matthew 13, he was talking to his disciples, and they asked him, he says, well, why do you speak in parables, Yeshua? He says, well, because it's given to you to know the great secrets of the kingdom, but it hasn't been given to them. It hasn't been given to everybody. Only those who Yahweh opens their eyes to. The rest of the people have their eyes blinded. And he said, truly many prophets and righteous men have longed, they have desired to see what you have seen and hear what you've heard. And it's a shame to say, but we could say the same thing to some people in the house of Yahweh today, it seems like. If you take it lightly and you don't listen to the words that our overseer is teaching us, and if you don't pay attention and take that to heart, 100%, he's already warned us, brethren, he's not going to see us in the kingdom. We've got to take it 100%. Don't take for granted what you've seen and heard, because the world doesn't have this understanding. They don't have this knowledge. They're seeking for it, but they don't know how to obtain it. Now, again, we see this great secret of the kingdom has been given to those whom Yahweh reveals it. And he's got to reveal it by someone, right? In that case, it was Yeshua. He was the one who was revealing it. In our day, it's the seventh Moloch. He's revealing these things unto us. Remember Revelation 10, verse 7, where it says, in the days of the voice of the seventh Moloch, all right, when he begins to sound, the great secret of Yahweh is revealed. All these things were spoken by the prophets, and it backs up exactly what Yeshua said when he said, believe all that the prophets have spoken, right? Black tail. It has to have a black tail. Another interesting word that's translated black is number 380. Number 380. And it means little man. Little man. Did you catch that? What is the owner of the white buffalo calf? Arby Little Soldier. And this word means little man. But this references to another one. Not who's little, but to one who's great. Okay? Open up to Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28. And also Exodus 4. Exodus 4. Deuteronomy 28 and Exodus 4. Deuteronomy 28, talking about this tale, it says in Deuteronomy 28, verse 13, Yahweh says, I will make you the head and not the tail. Not the tail. You will be at the top only. You remember the olive branch? It's sitting on top, high above everything else. Everything else is underneath it. And that shows the work of the olive branch in these last days being lifted up before any other work, because it's the only work that can bring peace to this entire world and the entire universe. Now, he says, you will never be at the bottom. If you will pay attention to the laws of Yahweh your Father, which I command you this day, and be careful to observe them. In Exodus 4, now, in Exodus 4 here, notice that Moshe He was talking with Yahweh, and Moshe answered and said, well, what if they, you know, he was told to go and do this job. He said, well, what if they do not believe me or listen to me? Suppose they say, Yahweh hasn't appeared to you. Then verse 2, then Yahweh said to him, what's that in your hand? And Moshe answered, a staff. So Yahweh said to them, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground. And then it became a serpent, and Moshe ran away from it. Then Yahweh said to Moshe, come here. Reach out your hand and take it by the tail, showing the supremacy of it. Take it by the tail. So he reached out his hand and he caught it, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. Now remember what Yahweh says, I'm going to make you the head and not the tail. It's interesting because that word staff, in the King James it uses the word rod, but it's actually number 4294, the Hebrew word matah, and it means branch. Branch. And a branch symbolizes spiritual power, and it spiritualizes authority by Yahweh. Okay, that branch. And that's why Moshe had that branch, to show his spiritual power and authority that came from Yahweh. That's why Aaron had his branch as well, okay? And that's why Israel Hawkins, in these last days, we have a branch. Okay? Because the only power and authority that you have comes through him. Remember that. You can do nothing on your own. Nothing. None of us can do anything on our own. So this example just simply shows that Yahweh gives authority, and when he does, no one or no thing can possibly take it away. Now, it must be a male. Now, there's been three white buffaloes that have been mentioned, that they made mention of. Arby Lewis Soldier talked about that, and he said there was one in 1883, there was one in 1933, and then the third one was born in 2011. And what about the fourth? Well, you know, like Yahweh says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, he likes to do that. So let's look at a clue that's given in the about the fourth white buffalo that's hidden in these dates between the second and the third dates. The second was 1933. The third was 2011. Subtract 1883 from 2011. What do you get? 78. Take today's year, 2012. Subtract 1934. What do you get? 78. What is 78? Israel Hawkins' age. It's revealed right there in that amount of time. That's why, brethren, according to prophecy, that buffalo calf had to die. At this time period, you revealed the age of the true white buffalo, the great white buffalo, Israel Hawkins. This is what the people need to understand. And these are the things that the house of Yahweh is pushing forth to give them that understanding. And that's why, in case you haven't noticed, Israel Hawkins is a male. So that fulfills that part of that prophecy as well, okay? So you don't have to worry about that. But think about Galatians. Turn up real quick. Galatians, we'll close with this. Galatians chapter 3, okay? Galatians chapter 3, look at verse 13. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. Galatians 3, verse 13. Messiah has redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Verse 14. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Yahshua Messiah, so that by the faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. That word Gentiles, it means, it's 1487, it means a multitude of individuals of the same nature, that is, of course, those observing the laws of Yahweh, our Creator. It means the human family, referring to Yahweh's great and awesome plan in Genesis 3, 26 and 28. And it means, the word Gentiles means a tribe, nation, a group of people. So notice what it's saying. The blessing that's given to Abraham might come to this group of people, these tribes, through Yahshua Messiah. And the way it comes through Yahshua Messiah is coming through the seventh Moloch, because Yahshua Messiah is the high priest over the house of Yahweh. May Yahweh bless your understanding. I'll turn it over this time. Go ahead, please stand. Thank you. Chicago. So, to the great Kahan Stefania Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone, and the peace of Yahweh to each and every one of you. Please be seated. We have a few more news stories, again, about showing prophecy being fulfilled. Real quick, one of them is the tsunami, which the debris is showing up on the Alaskan coast, and it's like 14 million tons of debris. But an interesting point about this is a lot of people do care about the environment, and they're being given a lot of pretend solutions by the world. But Yahweh's scripture shows us that if you really care about the environment, the only way to fix it is the keeping of Yahweh's laws. And I know there are people who sincerely care about these things, but they're being misled about what the solution is, and they're actually contributing to the problem. And then the next one is the missing children, which shows that there's 800,000 missing children a year in the United States. And, of course, children go missing for a lot of reasons. Sometimes they just wandered off. But they're bragging about their new system that they've been putting into place for the last few decades and how they're able to return 99% of the children back safely to home. And they don't look at the number of 800,000 missing every year and say, well, what's the 1% that are not being returned safely to home? And that's 8,000 children. So keep that in mind when they're bragging about these results, because you can just see mathematically 8,000 children a year are disappearing from home and they're not being returned. A lot of this is just actually over child custody. It's actually legal battles going on, but it's still a failure in the family. And then the last one is it falls into the category of bad math was never so much fun, which is the advertising slogan for Las Vegas. And it shows that prostate cancer screening tests should not be done. In fact, this story, which is the result of an 11-year study of 186,000 men, shows that basically the man is saying that they shouldn't even treat this cancer at all because they're killing people with their treatment. And the cancer itself is not nearly as deadly as the doctors treating the patients. There's an 80% false positive with this test, which means that as a doctor, you get five times as many patients as you really should have. So you're treating five times. There's one person that has cancer for every one of your patients. There's four that don't. You get to brag about curing 80% because they never had it in the first place. And then you say, we're making great progress in keeping people from dying from the disease, but they never had it in the first place. And this is something they do not want to get into their heads, because this test is the difference between these doctors getting a new Impala, Chevy Impala, or a new BMW. And they want the BMW, and so they're outraged. So let's play the news. Everyone, please stand. The greatest teacher in the world, the great Kohan Israel Hawkins!
What a beautiful praise to Yahweh on a wonderful day. You may be seated. Beautiful. And tomorrow is Pentecost. We got one more Sabbath. I wish I had a week with you is what I'd like right now. The news about the prostate, you know, in Revelations, if you'll turn there quickly. I wanted that played because your scripture calls that sorceries. It's chapter 9 of Revelations and verse 20. The rest of the men who were not killed by these plagues still did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons. This is part of demon worship, brought forth by the gods to make money. And, of course, that's what these things are for. And when a drug doesn't pay off, they get rid of it and get one that does. See, gold and silver, brass, stone, and of wood which can neither see nor walk. It's stupid. It cannot help you in any way. Neither did they repent of their murders, verse 21, and their sorceries. The sorceries means pharmaceuticals, medicines that help but also hinder. Oh, may the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Those new songs that you heard just before service are available, I'm told. I thought that one that they put together was great. Enjoyed every second of it. Did you notice how peaceful it is here in the camp? Anyone notice that? The only troubles we have now is that from the world, which they try to give us plenty. Before the feast, Satan was using every person she had available to try to cause the house of Yahweh trouble, try to stop the feast, try to keep you from enjoying the feast. But when the world is locked out, everything is peaceful and calm with Yahweh. We got a wonderful dinner today, smoked deer. I bet you couldn't find that in anywhere else in the world, probably. And end of the age cheese, I know you can't. Cheese potatoes, cheesy potatoes, and then garden greens that our own people grew and donated. Also oaky beets. I think they call that Harvard beets, but it's oaky here. Also, the oaky way. Don't forget to get Yahweh's way. praise Yahweh. Our evangelist stopped at a museum that dated back to my time. That's, thousands of years ago, but it seems like it. Where the women actually covered themselves, they had tall collars and long sleeves. I remember my mother wearing white gloves. The dress went down to almost to the ground. It didn't quite drag the ground. But that's the way all the girls, all the women in that territory of Oklahoma dressed when I was a child. That's not many years ago, and you're going to be surprised when you see this, but the world condemns that today. They condemn their mother and grandmother, you know, for wearing clothes that actually covered their bodies. Grasshoppers. We have a slew. We have a slew of grasshoppers. And I don't know if you realize how healthy grasshoppers are for you, but some people are saying they have everything you need in them. It's kind of a cure-all to cure the human body. And they're a very healthy creature that they live on the healthiest stuff. The things that you would want to eat, they eat it for you. And they eat it up, but if you could get the grasshopper, I think what we ought to do is put it in a capsule and like an antibiotic or maybe anti-bi-hopper or something like that, call it that, anti-bi-hopper. And maybe people would, if they could get over their quimsiness and take it, but we have a slew of them this year. They're eating all the healthy things out there for you. I would that we had some way of catching them. I would that we could serve. If we had about 10,000, we could serve this group of people here. this work tonight is going to be very encouraging to you, and hope this sermon is today. But if I had about a week right now to get all of this across in your mind in one thing, what I would that you would do is bring your books of Yahweh, pencil and paper, write down these scriptures, be studying them until the book comes out. It's that important, and it's hard to get. You can't, this knowledge was hidden for thousands and thousands of years, and now it's being revealed, but it's not an easy thing to reveal it because of the way Yahweh had it written. And of course, he sealed it to keep the world from seeing it. Cain, if you can remember how Cain, he left the face of Yahweh. And when you leave the face of Yahweh, Yahweh can't teach you. You cut yourself off from him, as Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 shows. And of course, if you miss these services, now Yahweh has made it available now in these last days to where you can actually get the each week's teaching from Yahweh, and you can play it in your own home, in the quietness of your own home, and really study it with your own book of Yahweh, or even a King James Version. I wanted to get up to the prophecies in Daniel that people have tried to put together for years, the last part of Daniel 12, and because Yahweh has now made it understandable to us, and the things that the scholars have hunted for years are now being fulfilled in the house of Yahweh. Of course, so we're not going to get it in 2 days, but if you will make arrangements to not miss one of these services, when you miss a service, you miss that lesson that comes from Yahweh. Yahweh's eyes and his heart are here with you right now in this house. Now, that's a fact. And Yahweh says, he tells you that, and he tells you this is a forever appointment. It's an appointment, an eternal appointment with Yahweh. And Isaiah 66 shows that from one new moon to another, and from one feast, one Sabbath to another, we're going to appear before Yahweh, as we're doing now. This is going to go on throughout all eternity. Now, that's how important it is for us. And will be throughout all eternity. Your Savior said, of course, Luke 21:24, he says, by the way, he's our high priest over the house of Yahweh, that the great Kohan Michael Sheets Hawkins just brought out. He said, you're a fool if you don't believe all that the prophets have spoken. If you let's go there to Luke 21, and start with this, because just get this in your mind, because Yahweh is talking to us almost daily now in the clouds, and you're going to see this tonight. He's uplifting his house and spreading it out to the world to see. But in verse 24 here, the Savior is speaking. He said, and they will fall by the edge of the sword and will be led away captive. Well, of course, this is part of the curse, that leaving the face of Yahweh, don't appear in front of Yahweh, missing your opportunities to be taught by Yahweh, like Cain did. Like Adam and Eve, that was their sin, missing the Sabbath days, and not coming before Yahweh. And of course, Yahweh went hunting them, and they were ashamed, but they had missed out on knowledge. But he said in verse 25, he says, "And there will be signs in the sun and in the moon." We're already seeing the signs in the sun. Of course, I think there's something in that eclipse the other night. I think Yahweh put a cloud in front of that we need to blow that up and see what's in it. But I really believe there's something in that cloud that he put in front of that the other night when we were filming it. In the stars, now these are signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars. And on earth, distress among nations in their perplexity. Well, as you can see, they're being perplexed right now. And, of course, it's not going to change, as Revelation 17 shows. They won't repent. They will not repent of the works of their hands. that they shouldn't be serving these demons. The demons don't keep the Sabbath day. The demons teach their people all over the world, don't keep Yahweh's appointed days with Him. You will learn how to live forever if you keep those appointments. And those demons, gods, they don't want you, they don't want anyone to learn to live forever. Distress among the nations in their perplexity at the roaring and the surging of the sea. We saw that. Did you see how that was bringing the debris? It also brought our forefathers, those currents. I don't know if you're familiar with the rivers that flow through the ocean, but they do, and the ships get on those currents, and it saves them a lot of fuel coming this way. But just as it brought that garbage, it also brought a bunch of our forefathers to America, what is now called America, where another work was started. The last work of Yahweh was started. Remember this because it's very important. I'm going to cover it and show you where Daniel actually predicted this. But some of them came across in other ways, but this was one of the ways that they found out. And Daniel even gives us the dates of it where it actually started taking place. But the roaring and the surging of the sea. This, of course, the sea also means people, multitudes and nations and tongues and their uproars. Men's courage failing them because of fear and because of the dread of those things which are coming upon the earth, and the powers of the heaven will be shaken. All of these things are taking place, and Satan is getting it prepared to take place even more because she hopes to destroy the earth and the heavens that govern the earth. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. So when these things begin to come to pass, look up and lift up your heads. Wake up, in other words, wake up and watch what is taking place, because your redemption draws near. On down to 31, he said, know that the kingdom of Yahweh is near at hand. Near at hand. There's one more verse I think I wanted to read there. I think it's 34. So be on guard. See to it that your minds are never clouded with carousing. This takes place, and this is what I was warning you of, to make sure you arrange to get these tapes, get this message from Yahweh every week. Whether you're here or not, arrange to get this message and listen to it. Study it with your scriptures. I'm just going to show you scriptures, but, you know, where you can find these things that Yahweh is telling you. But you've got to get them in your mind, and some people have told me, when I read them a scripture and I say, now don't forget that and look to the next scripture, they say suddenly that scripture is gone from their mind. So maybe you need some quiet study by yourself to get that scripture in your mind and compare it with the next scripture given. But he says the carousing, the drunkenness, or anxieties and worries of this life, so that day will come upon you unexpected, you who are actually called into His house. We look over to 2 Timothy with the same thing in mind. The apostle here speaks of this and actually expounds on it just a little bit in 2 Timothy 3, found on page 938, 2 Timothy 3, and verse 1, he says, know this also, that in the last days, perilous times will come, because men will be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parent, unthankful and unholy, without natural affection. The affection that it's speaking of here, of course, is is what causes the wars, the fightings, brutality to children, and anyone raising themselves up above others. Despisers of those that are righteous, though despisers of those who keep Yahweh's laws. And of course, this is what I was talking about to begin with. They take peace. They try to disturb the peace of the house of Yahweh by disturbing the people, bringing forth accusations. Instead of building the house, they lie about the house and lie about the elders and lie about how they're mistreated. And when they should, of course, they don't know that they're being judged right then. Yahweh's listening to them, and that's going on their record. Maybe that would stop. It probably wouldn't. They probably don't believe that either. They're just unbelievers in Yahweh's house that Satan's placed there to try to turn people away. And, of course, they turn many away. Has Yahweh actually said, remember what Satan said? Well, has Yahweh actually said this? And of course, they try to make you doubt. And if they can make you doubt, they got you on the right track to be in a servant of Satan like they are. Despisers of those who are righteous. Why do they despise the house of Yahweh? Look at it. It's keeping Yahweh's laws of righteousness. That's what righteousness is. 1 John 3, 4 through 7 and 8. Don't let anyone deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous. Those who break Yahweh's Sabbaths, who don't attend Yahweh's Sabbaths, those who do not keep the other laws, they belong to Satan. Read it for yourself. Write it down. Read it later. Despisers of those who are righteous. Traitors, headstrong, arrogant, lovers of pleasure. They said 30 million people are hitting the road this weekend, going to and fro. They have nothing better to do than go to and fro. Satan, where you been? Oh, just traveling to and fro, back and forth. Well, oh, have you found anything yet? No. No, it's a... Well, where is the joy? At Yahweh's house. Find it in His Sabbath. Yahweh says, if you will honor the Sabbath day and call it a delight. Call it a delight. Just call it a delight. Start telling yourself it's a delight. I tell you, someone told me yesterday that they look forward all week to the Sabbath to begin. I said, this is great. I do too. It's such a pleasure to be with everyone in Yahweh's house on the Sabbath. Well, praise Yahweh. The lovers of pleasure more than lovers of Yahweh. And of course, what they're seeking, just, well, let's go to grandma's house. No, let's go over here to the ocean. Let's look at it. Well, how long does it take you to look at an ocean? I think you could pull it up on the internet and look at it there a lot faster and cheaper. Let's go look at this building that got blew away. Maybe you'll be in the next one. Having a form of godliness or holiness, just having a form of holiness, but denying the authority. Authority? Authority. What bell would that ring to you? Look over to, hold your place, we'll come back there. But if you'll look over to Isaiah 8, and don't forget now what we just read. Remember the word authority. Denying authority. That's what the world does. If they wouldn't deny this authority here, they wouldn't be deceived. And Yeshua said that. If you don't believe all that the prophets have spoken, you're a fool. And of course, if you don't believe, then you don't learn to believe what the prophets have spoken. To me, to me that what the prophets have spoken, I see it coming to pass, and I know that no man could do this. This is being done by a higher power. Well, that higher power tells you what you must do to achieve salvation. And one of those things you must do is come before Yahweh. Every new moon, every Sabbath day, all flesh will appear before me. Well, here, in the last days now, one of the things is they have a form of holiness, but they deny authority. Look at chapter 8 of Isaiah, if you've got it there, and verse 20. To the law and the prophecy, if they speak not according to this authority that Yahshua said, you're a fool if you don't believe it. If they speak not according to this authority, it's because there's no light. Light? No laws in them. No laws of Yahweh in them. To us, if chapter 9, verse 6, what you should do is point an arrow from that word, that chapter 20, verse 20 there, up to 6, to us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government of Yahweh, this is speaking of this last day's work right here. Let's go back to Timothy here. Denying the authority in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 5, having a form of holiness but denying the authority. Well, the authority is given by the prophets and apostles, and of course, Moshe said, I will have no other works except that the prophets have spoken. And of course, they deny that prophecy, they deny that authority from Yahweh, but they're denying salvation. They're walking out on the face of Yahweh. They will not see His face and not let it shine up on them, as Cain. All the world has gone the way of Cain. All of that ties in with what I just got through telling you here. Always learning, verse 7. They're always learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth that is given by Yahweh. That don't mean, we're here with the high priest, we're here with Yahweh, but that don't mean now, even though He's appearing in the clouds to us and writing things to us in the clouds and showing us signs right now where His house is, that doesn't mean that you can let down on your guards. You're going to have to keep up your guards and watch yourself and don't let a root of bitterness get in between you and your sisters or brothers and where hatred rises up, and then you don't want any part to do with the work of Yahweh. I'm fed up. I've heard those words before. I'm sure you have. Satan put them in your mouth is what she did. You need to take them out. You need to repent of it. But Revelations, he said, come out from among them and be separate. You've got to do that. 2 Corinthians, that's not me saying that. That's Yahweh saying that. You could join the 30 million people. 30 million people. I didn't know we had that much gasoline left. I thought we were supposed to run out of oil or something. Wasn't that the lie that was being told? Revelations 18:4, come out from among them and be ye separate. And 2 Corinthians says the same thing. 2 Corinthians 6:14-18, come out from among them, be ye separate, touch not the unclean thing. Well, we see the uncleanness all over the world now. We showed some films, and you could probably get that. I think this was about shrimp, where it's coming from, how they wallow it all over the foods in the grocery stores. It's a hard thing to come out from the grocery store. It's really hard. And of course, the states and governments are fighting against you preserving your own food. Now, they want you to buy from the big canneries, and of course the big canneries are part of them that we're told to come out of. That they are the unclean, and they have no regard for anything, it seems like, except money. As far as health is concerned, they don't have any regards for it at all. If money gets in the way, they're willing to go ahead and slock it up and call it, what do they call it, pink slime. Man, we're not going to throw away thousands of pounds of this pink slime. Put it in the hamburger. They'll never know the difference. And of course, the people don't know what they're buying when they buy the ground beef. Well, this is all what I'm talking about here, but it's hard to come out. It's taken us many years to get to where we are now, and we're still not quite out of it yet. We're more so than anyone else in the world. But Second Corinthians 7:1 says to cleanse yourselves, and of course, the stuff that we stack up in our bodies from the uncleanness, you know, it builds up. And of course, the health experts say that the in the colon is where about 90% of the diseases take place. And the cleansing, there are cleanses that you can take, of course, that I don't know of any other way of doing it except doing it the way the Scripture says. But I think you should take joy in doing it the way the Scripture says. But in the last days now, we're in the last days where Revelation says the whole world is deceived. The whole world. Here's where I want to go back to Genesis here, Genesis 4, and show you that it started back here in Genesis 4. Revelations 12:9 says that Satan deceives the whole world. King James Version, Satan deceiveth the whole world. Now, and of course, that's the reason Yahweh had to plan a work, start a work, bring up, as the Scriptures translated it, a lot of words in that I wanted to cover this feast and won't get to, but I will get it to you if you'll just get to where you can get these sermons even though you're out there. I don't think you're going to be out there too much longer. I think things are... Praise Yahweh. Looking forward to the day here, but Genesis here, 4 and verse 14, he says, Cain is saying to Yahweh, surely you have driven me out this day. Well, of course, that's what they say, you know, you put me out of the house of Yahweh. No, no, that's a lie. We don't put anybody out of the house of Yahweh, never have. Never have put anybody out of the house of Yahweh. They chose to leave. And then they have the same lie that Cain told, accusing us of kicking them out. They said, "Well, you have put me out from the face." If you got the information about the face of Yahweh, let His face, may His face shine upon you. That means you're in the image and likeness of Yahweh, keeping His laws, keeping His appointments, learning, practicing the laws of Yahweh, looking forward to Yahweh's Sabbath with joy, and so forth. You can do it. It's the most joyful thing. I remember having, I told some young priests last night, I said, I remember having to force myself to study because I was active. I was full of energy when I was a child, and I had to force myself to study. And the teacher told me, "Bill, you're daydreaming looking out the window." And she said, "You have a great mind, and I notice you can make straight A's on everything when you want to." And I could, but I didn't want to. And I didn't. I wanted to be active. But I saw later that in order to get what I wanted, and what I wanted was to understand the Scriptures. And that's the reason I started forcing myself to study everything that had to do with the Scriptures. And I noticed that the more I studied, the more I wanted to study these things. And now I have to force myself to get up, quit studying, even to go to the restroom when I'm in deep pain. Now that is how much your craving comes to you if you'll do what Yahweh says. Praise Yahweh. it'll come to you the same way. Well, here in Genesis 4 now, in verse 14, Cain is saying, you're driven me out. I will no longer be seen in your face, and I'll have continual war, all war, vengeance, and retaliation. And Yahweh said, yes, that's established in verse 15. Then verse 16, then Cain went out from the presence of Yahweh. And of course, he cut himself off from Yahweh, and then he went out and started sinning and lived in sin and started building cities like everyone else does today instead of seeking the kingdom of Yahweh like we're told today. Then in chapter 6 here, we see a man, Noah. We see an earth due to Cain here that's filled with wickedness, verse 5. Verse 11, the earth was corrupt before Yahweh due to the efforts of Cain, who said Yahweh kicked him out. Indeed, it was corrupt, and all flesh corrupted themselves upon the earth. And Yahweh said to Noah, the end of all flesh now has come before me, because it's filled with violence and hatred and destruction. So Yahweh, from Noah now, from Noah, and remember all the world went the ways of Cain, and Yahweh from Noah then, if you look to Daniel, they were cut off from Yahweh, and if you look to Daniel 12, you'll see the shape that they were in at that time, and we'll get deeper into this, but here in Daniel 12 now, in verse 4, Daniel 12 and verse 4, we see this was with Cain. When Cain left the face of Yahweh, he shut himself off from knowledge, wisdom, great understanding. That's what we're seeking. Seek first the kingdom of Yahweh and its righteousness, and all this other will be added to you. All these things that you think you want, and they're trying to seek and trying to build up, it's all temporary. The great things Yahweh will add to you if you'll seek first His kingdom, force yourselves to study, force yourselves to get this message every Sabbath, whether you're here or not, and get it in your mind till you learn it to where you can't be deceived by any Tom, Dick, and Harry that comes along and says, did Yahweh say this? You know, well, I heard what a crook that man was. He has several felonies against him. He's been found guilty of several felonies. It was so funny, I thought, when one of our Peaceful Solution teachers was actually the judge. You'll see this tonight, but the judge was making him an honorary member of 104th District Court. And as he did several of the younger priests that were teaching, and the DA said was there, and he said, you know, that man was guilty of several felonies. And the teacher said, no, he's not. He said he's never been convicted of any felony. In fact, he's never had a charge filed against him, except the charge of keeping Yahweh's laws. Well, the man thought, well, something is wrong here. And I guess he went and looked it up and found out that the teacher was telling him the truth. But anyway, the lies, they're spread by Satan. And of course, they'd have you believing that I'm worse than Al Capone, and that's the message they put out, because they hate authority. They hate the authority, and they're despisers of those who are righteous. That is today's world of Cain, because they've shut themselves off. Well, right here now, Yahweh took us up to a certain spot, as we'll see here, because He predicted everything up to Yahshua's ascension into heaven, where He became the high priest. And then He said the books are sealed till the time of the end. And people have struggled over this for years, trying to find this out. And why? But it's blocked. It's blocked. The only place they could get it is in front of Yahweh at His appointed times. Well, the Catholic Church changed that. And they admit they changed it. It's not given at any other time. It's there at His appointed times, at His house. And Yahweh cut it off. And then He says, you're going to, up until this certain time, and He shows the time, and He said, then it'll stop. Be sealed from there on. Well, of course, He showed him the last days there and two witnesses, but I just wanted you to see that it's sealed, like it was in the days of Cain, and that was the way it was until Noah. Turned back to Genesis again, because the floods came then, and there was no knowledge except with Noah, and of course, Yahweh brought that about for His second work, whom He used, starting with Abraham, from Noah. He had plans to bring forth from Abraham. And remember, He chose. Now, try to get this in your minds. He didn't just choose Abraham all of a sudden. Well, there's a good-looking guy. He's about 4 inches taller than anybody else. I think I'll choose him. No, Yahweh, before the earth began, chose Abraham. But He didn't just choose Abraham. He chose to start a work. Get this now. Are you awake? Come on, listen. He chose to start a work. And He made plans at that time, thousands of millions, billions of years before that, to start a work that would bring forth a man named Abraham. Now, if you'll keep that in mind, it won't be so hard to understand about this work in these last days. Bringing up. That's the way it's translated in the King James Version. That's throwing more people off, you know. But salvation can still be found there in the King James Version. Not as easily as it can in the house of Yahweh today, but here, because Abraham obeyed My voice, kept My charge, My commandments, My statutes, and My laws. Yahweh knew He would do that before the earth was ever brought forth, that He put Abraham on. In chapter 22, if you will look back, Abraham made a promise, made a prophecy. In chapter 22, Abraham himself prophesied in verse 8, Abraham said, My son Yahweh will provide for Himself a lamb. And that was a prophecy. Now, Daniel in chapter 4, if you'll go to chapter 4, I'm running out of time, but now I want you to keep in mind the first elder went over, so he's forcing me to go over. And so you cooks don't blame me. In Daniel, the fourth chapter, Daniel shows here four world-ruling kingdoms. Four world-ruling kingdoms here. Now, these weren't just picked, hand-picked at the time. Yahweh allowed this, and He knew this was going to take place and was able to predict it before it took place. And that's what Daniel saw here and predicted these four world-ruling kingdoms. One of which here, he said, would have an army. The army would stand on his part. I want you to get that in your mind and remember it until tomorrow morning in chapter 11 of Daniel. This fourth world ruling kingdom consisted of a world ruling kingdom with a religion that led that world ruling kingdom. And he said, speaking of a religion here, Daniel prophesied Daniel prophesied, and it was written for you that the army would stand on his part. Chapter 11, 31. Daniel 11, verse 31. And the army will stand on his part. How did he know that? How did he know that the army would stand on this person's part, this religion's part, and they would pollute the sanctuary? How could he possibly know that? And when Yahshua came along, of course, these people were ruling the sanctuary. The Roman army still standing on their part. And they called themselves Pharisees, Sadducees, and Essenes. There's another one there, but I can't remember the name offhand. But they ruled the sanctuary. Violent men, like you see in Genesis, the sixth chapter, who shut themselves off from Yahweh. They started adding to Yahweh's laws, saying these are the traditions of the elders that you must follow. Well, those traditions of the elders, you can read them in the Babylonian Talmud. They don't make any sense. Because they can't agree with one another. They can't agree with the Bible either, with the prophets, and they persecuted the prophets that wrote the laws of Yahweh and said, no, you've got to follow the tradition of the elders. Well, Christianity says these people were Jews and they were keeping the laws of Yahweh, and that was what was wrong with them. The Savior said they lie about this, and he plainly says the law was delivered to you people, but you don't keep the law. And he told his disciples, be careful of the sins. He called it leavening, that's translated leavening of the Pharisees, because they say, but they do not keep the laws of Yahweh. Well, Daniel said the army will stand on his part. He will pollute the sanctuary of strength and take away the daily. That's a daily reading or teaching of Yahweh's laws that was called, they stood in Moshe's seat. And the Savior said, when the Pharisees stand in Moshe's seat, do what they tell you to do. Do it, because they teach the laws of Moshe. But outside of Moshe's seat, they taught the Babylonian Talmud, put together to getting ready to take Yahweh's people out of there, take them to Babylon and to Rome, and as they did Daniel. Daniel was one of the ones that followed Yahweh's laws, was in contact with him, and he was one of the ones that was taken into captivity. This is proof of what they were doing. Daniel was taken into captivity along with many others that followed Yahweh's law. And the king wanted to teach him the literature. What literature? The Babylonian Talmud. And they made it look great. These are the traditions of the elders. This Moshe didn't write, but he spoke to our forefathers, they said. They lied. Moshe didn't give two different laws. Moshe only gave one. And of course, they hated Moshe for doing so. Well, here he says that they'll stand on his part. The army will stand on his part. 926. He says, yes, those who eat of the king, no, this is not it. Daniel 11, 31, they'll stand on his part. They will pollute the sanctuary, that is the house of Yahweh, which Jeremiah said they did. Jeremiah said they had brought profaneness into the house of Yahweh. And the sanctuary of strength. Sanctuary of strength. Remember what strength, Yahweh's strength is? This is the strength of Yahweh, and if you will accept it, this is Elijah which was to come. That's what the King James Version says. This was Yahshua's answer to them. Well, the strength of Yahweh, the house of Yahweh's strength, is the house of Yahweh that teaches Yahweh's strength, which is His laws. And that's what is going to give you the strength to not only to overcome, but the strength also to receive the power that Yahweh wants to give you. They will take away the daily, and they will place the Lord of heaven. Place the Lord of heaven. So, this prophecy right here is telling you with the army, let's go back to 9. Now remember what you read there in chapter 11. I rehearse it. The army will stand on that religion's part. If you look to chapter 9 now, and verse 26, 9 and verse 26, he says, and after the 62 weeks, here's where he's telling and gives us details and times of when things are going to take place. He actually gave us times here. Notice that. And after 62 weeks, Messiah will be cut off. That is, he's going to be killed. And the people of the prince that will come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. How did he know that? Look at that. That is proof Yahweh wrote this. Yahweh inspired this to be written. Now, if you know anything about history, you know that the sanctuary was destroyed by Titus. He destroyed what they called it the temple at that time. Are you listening now? I'm going to tell you when. 70 CE. That was when this prophecy took place. Destroyed the sanctuary. Think of what a marvelous prophecy this is. Yahweh actually tells you in advance, told Daniel in advance. And it was written for us. You're a fool if you don't believe these prophecies. Well, of course, you got to know the prophecies before you can believe them. And that's why I'm telling you, it is so important that you get these things in your mind and have them to where you can, yourself, can readily turn to them and don't forget them. But notice they will destroy it. He said they'll destroy it. Another prophecy says they're going to plow Zion like a field. Which means that it's not going to be any big rocks there. These were huge rocks that they had that temple built out of. And they're going to plow it like a field. Well, they can't plow those big rocks, that's for sure. So what did they do with them? They took them down. Yeshua said on the words of this prophet right here that there won't be one stone left here upon another that will not be taken down. Now, these same people that the army stood on his part, they destroyed the temple. They were also taking people like Daniel to Babylon. They took him to Babylon. They took others to Rome to try to train in their literature. They were training missionaries. They had a plan. Satan had a plan to train missionaries to rule the world. And, of course, that's what their historians, the Roman historians, said. Our empire rules the whole world. They finally did rule the whole world before they got divided, before they got to fighting with each other. And each regime started a war with the next one and the next one. Just like it was going on in Israel, they just carried the same war and retaliation to all the nations they established. Yes, and they did establish those other nations. I don't care what they call themselves, Germans, France, whatever. They were the 12 tribes of Israel that took over the world. And they built this huge, powerful empire that ruled the world. And Daniel, before it was done, Daniel prophesied that it would be done. That's the important part. Before Abraham was born, before Noah was born, before Adam and Eve were created, Yahweh had this thing all planned out, calculated, to bring forth people of the seed of Abraham, yes, But remember, seed don't mean bloodline. Although in this day they got it of the 12 tribes. What makes you the seed of Abraham is what the apostle said. If you keep the laws of Yahweh, then are you Abraham's seed, and then you have a right to the inheritance. The inheritance that our high priest Yahshua inherited. But look at what a magnificent prophecy. And the end of all of this stuff is going to end with war, and desolations are determined. And he will confirm a covenant, then he gives you. Daniel brings you up, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but keep this in mind. He will confirm a covenant with many, well, that is with Rabin, for 7 years. How did he know that there'd be a man named Rabin? Can you hear me? Rabin? How did he know that there would be a man named Rabin in the end time period? Rabin. And he would actually confirm a covenant with Rabin. How did he know it'd be 7 years? Why wouldn't it be 3 or 4? Why would it be so long? You see what a marvelous thing this is that Yahweh himself can do? Praise Yahweh. Don't forget what I brought you here today. And then tomorrow, Yahweh willing, I think he is, we will continue with this. And then what I have planned is to show you all of that chapter of Daniel, because we do understand it now. We know things right now that none of the scholars before us, Yahweh hid it from all of them. And they brag about the fact that nobody knows it. But we know it, and we got it and ready to teach them. But brethren, your power and your strength comes from knowing this book of Yahweh. This is a source of all knowledge that Yahweh is giving you here. And if you'll praise Yahweh, and you can learn it and you can acquire it by keeping his Sabbath, keeping your appointments with Yahweh. And if you miss one, make sure you get it and catch up on this. It'd be better if you could be here, and one day soon you will. I know this is coming very shortly. Look up, for your redemption draws near. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services over to the next speaker. I love you, brothers and sisters.